there was one song that we could not sing in Zambia. That was Hold the Fort. Why is that? Because if we said wave the answer back to heaven, most people would not be able to participate. When we were in those church services, there was a lack of the actual... Now, the pastors had the Word of God. I had a Bible. But the normal... I didn't... And maybe I missed it or something like that, but the average person... I did not see a lot of Bibles in the service. And I thought, man, how difficult that must be. Thankful for the Word of God that we can have in our hands. And this morning I woke up and it's like other mornings, I like getting up before everybody else gets up. So have a little quiet time and try and make a cup of coffee quietly, and then go and read and just have some alone time with the Lord. Imagine not being able to do that. Imagine not having the Word of God in your language. Thankful for the Word of God, and the Word of God is so important to us. In Titus chapter number 2, number 1, why the Word of God is so important, Titus chapter number 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Without the Word of God, I wouldn't know about Christ. And if I don't know about Christ, I do not know about salvation. The only reason I know about Christ is through this book. Maybe someone that knows the Word of God could relay the truths of the Word of God. But without the Word of God, we know nothing of Christ. And how valuable that book that you hold in your hand is. It brings salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look at some familiar verses, but may these verses never get old to us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When someone departs from the Word of God and says, I'm going to do salvation my own way, 100% of the time, it is works. I am going to earn my salvation, whether it's keep this catechism or keep these things or just do good to people. But outside of the Word of God, man's mentality of salvation or I will achieve heaven or some sort of status is always works-based. The Word of God, thankful for the Word of God, says, no, it's not about your works. Amen. It's about my grace. Amen. It's about your faith. I was talking to a German engineer student when we were in Zambia, and he heard some very pointed messages on heaven and hell. He was lost. He spoke English. A smart kid. Yeah. And I was talking to him, and we went back and forth a little bit. He stopped into our room the one night, and we were talking to him. I said, hey, where are you at with the Lord? And he goes, you know, I really appreciate the messages, but... I just need proof. I said, Tom, I can prove to you through the scriptures that Christ was who he says he was. I said, we can go back and forth and we can look at the prophecies, and it would be almost impossible for any one person to write all of that. And when you understand, and I said, but at the end of the day, Tom, faith will be required. Because eventually you're just going to have to say, what God says is true, and I believe it. Because in ourself, we want to earn our salvation. That's why these two young men traveled all over from England, and they're going to Zambia to volunteer. Why? Because they think if they do enough good, it'll be enough to earn kindness on the other side. That's not what the Scripture says. I'm thankful for the Word of God that bringeth salvation. And tells us, no, it's not about works, it's about faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord for the Word of God that bringeth salvation. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. And outside of the Word of God, oh no, you can go this way or you can go that way. If you believe this or you believe that, or if you do these things. No, salvation is through Christ. And I know that because of the Word of God. Romans 3:10, right? All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wouldn't know about the death of Christ outside of the Word of God. We, I'm going to remember photo books. Remember that? Maybe as a kid growing up. Kelly, do you remember that as a kid growing up? Yours were probably black and white, but if you remember, if you remember, you would look, and it would kind of, you would watch them as kids, and you would, and my sister and I, we would look at our old photo books, and I had one, and she had one, and then they became, you know, family photo books, and you would look, and you would learn. Although I wasn't there, I could tell you stories about me as a kid. I could tell you about me as a two-year-old, and I could tell you there was one time I was sitting in a little high chair, and I took a jar of peanut butter, and I just smeared it all on my face and hair and stood my hair straight up, and I say, you remember that? No, I saw a picture about it. And it recorded something for me to tell me, hey, I wasn't there when he died on the cross, but I have a photo book. I have a record, if you will, about that, and outside of this book, I wouldn't know about that. Thankful for the word of God that bringeth salvation. Romans 10:9, for whosoever shall, well, 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, outside of the word of God, again, let's think about this. As people venture further and further away from the word of God, it becomes less and less. Here, at deep into the pages of the word of God is whosoever. And the further and further away from the Word of God you get, the more elite and smaller the group of salvation is. It is only for this group. It is only if you do these things. It is only, but in the Word of God it says, for whosoever. Man, I'm thankful for the Word of God that brings salvation. Not only does it bring salvation, it reveals creation. Look at Genesis chapter number 1. Brother Bauman was preaching on the Word of God in Zambia, and as he was talking, I was writing, I don't know why, but just these things stood out to me, and just putting these thoughts down on paper, thankful for the Bible. He preached on the importance or the power of the Word of God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Hey, you take that phrase, you bring that into your public biology class, and you're ruffling feathers. You'll find yourself in the principal's office with a verse like that. But this is the truth. What does the Word of God do? Number one, it brings salvation. Number two, it reveals creation. How did I get here? God put me here. How is anything made? God made it. Takes away all question. Look at Hebrews chapter number 11. I love this. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, if we were to ask what the topic of Hebrews 11 is, we would say what? Faith. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm thankful that I can go to the Word of God and know that by God's Word, hey, how did the stars get there? My son Jonathan is way into the space programs. He knows a lot about it. Really cool guy that was in Zambia. The one guy, his name was Brian Collins. He used to work for NASA. How long did he work for NASA? 13 years. So him and Joe are talking nerd stuff, like they're using acronyms and they're talking stuff, but he loves that stuff. I don't know what you catch your kids watching on the computer, but I'm constantly catching Joe watching space videos. I come in downstairs, and we have it right in the wood stove room. I hear the thing in the computer, and I come around, and sure enough, there's a rocket going off or an explanation of star. And I'm like, what are you watching? Oh, Dad, this is cool. This is about Artemis. And he's telling me all this stuff. And you look out, and you go, how'd all that get there? Because God spoke it. Say, that's going to take some faith. Yes, it takes some faith, but I know that because I have the Word of God. There's a lot of different views of how we all got here. And the further and further away from the Word of God you get, the crazier and crazier the theory becomes. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to close that book. We're going to pretend that there is no God. We're going to say that there's no God, that there is no creator. Genesis 1:1 does not exist. All right, so what are we going to come up with? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take nothing, and we're going to make it explode. And out of that, in perfect order, in perfect relativity to one another, dependence on one another, perfect balance, it all just works. We're not going to be able to replicate it. We're not even going to be able to explain it. You see how crazy that sounds when you get away from the Word of God? I think it takes more faith to believe that than just, sure, there's a God in heaven that said, I love you, and I'm going to create something awesome for you. A place where you can serve me. Amen. Man, that's what creation's all about. It reveals creation. Colossians 1:16. There's a theory amongst Christians that God used evolution to create. It's called theistic evolution. That's a bunch of baloney. Say, well, how do you... Because God said he made things. 6 days, it said. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him. And, oh, see, this is the kicker. This is the problem. If God made all these things, then all these things are for him. And if I can get away from God being the creator, then I don't have to live for him. And that's why creationism is attacked. That's why Genesis 1:1 is cut out. That's why when you walk into a public high school, the theory of creation isn't even spoken of. Because if this is even closely true, this is all for him. The Word of God brings salvation. It reveals creation. Can I show you another verse? Isaiah 45. I don't know what I'd ever do if you said no. I guess I would just go to the next one. I'd probably rally back around and not tell you and just go to it anyways. Isaiah 45 and verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. That pretty much settles it, doesn't it? How did we get here? God made it, put you right here. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. And here it says, this is the other thing. So not only did God create all of these things, and all of these things are for him, but he commands it. That means he's in charge. Thankful for the Word of God that brings salvation. Number two, that reveals creation because it put God in his rightful place and man in his. So important. But outside of the Word of God, I wouldn't know that. Yes, the heavens declare the glory of God, but I've got to go. Here we have the details. Thankful for that. God promised to do two things with the Scriptures, Caleb. Number one, he's promised to inspire them. That means the Word of God is perfect. God breathed. Number two, he's promised to do this, preserve them. Won't, you can't destroy them. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Man can try and burn all the Scripture. You can't defeat this book. You won't. It brings salvation. It reveals creation. It guides in sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. In verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Hey, there's some things that in a Christian's life ought not to be, right? It's called sin. And when you cut those things out and get rid of that stuff, God says, hey, you're sanctified, you're separated, you're holy, and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. God's desire through the Word of God. How do I know what God likes? How do I know what God wants from me? Yes, I understand salvation. Yes, it explains creation, why I'm here, and what it's all for, and who's in charge of everything. But what about after that? What about my daily life? God says, that's fine. I'll write it all down for you. I'll tell you exactly what I want you to do. I'll describe exactly how I want you to live. And this is the difference between holiness and the profane, the goodness of God and the evilness. There's a distinct difference, and there's sanctification, and then there's a sinful life. And he says those two things ought not to be together. And when you live a holy and pure and clean life, he says you're a vessel I can use. So how do I know about those things? Is it one man's opinion? No, it's through the Word of God. Look at John chapter 17. John 17. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do I know about sanctification? Through the word of God. Look at verse 18. No, verse 19. Well, I guess it would be weird to read 19 without 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. What is the truth? The Word of God. There is one thing that we can guarantee is the truth, and that's the Word of God. Thankful for it. So thankful. And how do we know what God wants? How do we know what holiness is? How do we know what sanctification is? It's through the Word of God. Indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Ryan, you're getting older now, right? You're older today than you were yesterday. How old are you today? 11. Sticks. You see that? Two sticks right there. And eventually, if it hasn't happened already, you're going to open up the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God on the inside is going to start talking to you. And he's going to start saying, here's some things that need to come out of your life, and here's some things that need to be added to your life. And that's going to continue on until you see Jesus face to face. So how do we know what God wants from us? Because the Word of God guides us in sanctification. Number one, it brings salvation. Number two, it reveals creation. Number three, it guides in sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verses we've looked at recently, but worth repeating. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. How to conduct yourself in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. Number one, brings salvation. Two, reveals creation. Number three, guides in sanctification. Number four, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, defeats temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. There is no temptation in you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I ask the question here right now tonight, what is the key to overcoming temptation? The Word of God. How do you know that? Because when Christ was tempted in the wilderness, he didn't use his wit, he didn't use strength, he used the Word of God to answer the enemy. And when tempted in our own life, whatever that sin is that does so easily beset you, you ought to have an answer for it. And when that flesh rears its ugly head up, whether it's anger or bitterness or whatever it is that you're struggling with. You know, I was reading in 1 Samuel today, yesterday it was, and I was reading about Hannah. And there she was. I just started 1 Samuel. And remember that story where Eli thought she was drunk, right? She was praying and she was kind of mouthing words and just kind of acting a little crazy. And he came over to her and he's like, I thought you were drunk. And he thought, and she said, she makes a reference. She goes, I'm not a servant of Belial. You see, drunkenness is associated with what? Worldliness, ungodliness. Hey, maybe alcohol's a struggle. You better have some verses about what God says about being sober Search the scriptures. Look up every time the scripture talks about alcohol. Every single time. From cover to cover. You know what you're going to find? It is not good company. Nothing good happens around alcohol. Well, you know, Paul told Timothy for his stomach's sake. Yeah, I get that. Say, what do you do with that? I don't know. That's what it said. You know, sometimes I have a headache or decongestant, and I take a little NyQuil. I think there's a little alcohol in there, a little bit. I don't know. But I guarantee the people that are drinking a glass of wine or going out and to the bars isn't for their stomach's sake and medicinal. Here. This has, I don't know how we got off on that.
Come on, preacher.
But I've been around way too many people whose lives have been destroyed by alcohol. Destroyed. And there's a movement in Christianity that says, no, it's fine. You can drink and you can have a good time with this. And it's just occasional. And all. Stay away from that monster. See, I struggle with that. Maybe that was the old man. And that thing, on a hot summer day, know what I want? I want a cool glass of lemonade or iced tea or something like that. I'm not thinking about alcohol. But maybe your struggle is alcohol. Hey, search the scriptures about what it says about being sober. So when that temptation comes up, you respond with the importance of sobriety. Defeat those. Galatians chapter number 5. I wasn't planning on preaching on alcohol, but Caleb over here just brought it out of me. I don't know. Defeating temptation. This I say then in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, I'm just struggling with the flesh. Then walk in the Spirit. What's a great way to walk in the Spirit? Walking hand in hand with God. You know, when I walk with my kids when they were little through the grocery store, if I wanted them to behave, know what I would have to do? Hold their hand. The closer they got to me, the better they behaved. Hey, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer, the more you walk in the Spirit, just holding hands with God, the less you are susceptible to the flesh. I remember as a kid walking through the store, and man, I'd reach out. But we were a lot more lenient with our kids than my mom was with me. We'd walk in and she would say, don't touch anything. Well, 8-year-old little hands want to touch stuff. When I was a kid, they used to have toys in the store, and I would go to the toy aisle, and I'd be looking at stuff, and man, all of a sudden on my shoulder, my mom was 5'2", about 110 pounds, but she'd grab a hold of that shoulder and yank me. All of a sudden, I was no longer walking in the flesh. Man, wouldn't that be good if we were walking so close to the Lord that all of a sudden we start to deviate, and all of a sudden, what on earth? Hey! Hey, son, you're about to get yourself into some trouble. Didn't I tell you not to touch that? Man, we let go of the hand of the Lord and we find ourselves in the wrong place. Word of God. Hey, you find yourself in the Word of God, you're going to be a lot less open to the works of the flesh. How is that? It's because the closer you get to the Lord, a deeper love you have for Him, and you're not going to want to do those things. It's amazing how God just takes away the desire for sin the closer you get to Him. My prayer in my life, regularly, is God help me to hate sin because my flesh desires it. The Word of God helps us defeat temptation. Spend a lot more time on that than I anticipated. Lastly, John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. In verse 33, it says this: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Number five, the Word of God helps us overcome corruption. This world takes anything that is good and just makes it awful. And God says, don't worry, I win in the end. I'm thankful for the Word of God for those promises. 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Let's look at verse 4. We'll look at just two more verses. 1 John 5, 4 says this: "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Look at 1 John chapter number 4 and verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This world would love to take our young people and just corrupt their minds. It's called the public school system. It's a mess. That's the other one. That's a dangerous place. So how do I overcome that? Well, God overcomes that. The Word of God fixes all that. How do I know what's right and how do I know what's wrong? I walked into a store here in Brockport. I still call females ladies. Yep. And there was a lady standing there. And she said, "You need to call me he and him." And I think that's just corruption. That took what God designed and it just messed the whole thing up. I'm respectful. When I talk to a lady, "Excuse me, ma'am or miss," I call her ladies. And guys are gross, but you try and be respectful to the ladies. In this world, they'll take anything good and just mess that thing up. Amen. I'm thankful for the Word of God that sets things straight, knowing at the end, Christ has the victory over that. Thankful for the Word of God tonight. That brings salvation, that reveals creation, that guides us in sanctification, that defeats temptation, and that overcomes corruption. Hey, if you're disheartened by what's going on in the world, please know that Christ wins in the end. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Let's all stand. I hope as you walk out tonight, maybe you hold your Bible a little tighter, thankful for it. Could you imagine not having it? Remember Brother Stokes? He brought that big roll in here and he brought all those number of people groups that didn't have the Word of God in their language. Hey, if you're a sharp young man or lady and you're saying, what does God want me to do with my life? Hey, learn a foreign language and help translate the Word of God into a people group that does not have the Word of God. That'd be helpful. So where's the glory in that? Do I get my name in lights? Could you imagine the impact in eternity when a group of people that learns of salvation and understands why they're on this earth and how God wants them to be holy and can have victory over sin? Couldn't have done that without that. Thankful for the Scriptures. This isn't like any other book. If it does that, don't you think we should spend some time in it every day? And it's so much more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can go to it and at any moment open it, study it, read it. God, thank you for how it speaks to us, leads us, and guides us. Lord, if maybe a young person here tonight isn't sure on their salvation, that maybe tonight they would go home and ask their parents about that. God, if someone's living an unholy life, that they would get into the scriptures and study about holiness and godliness and have a true desire, not because the preacher said so, but because your Holy Spirit spoke to their heart. God, if there's a group of people here tonight wondering what their purpose here on earth is and recognizing that you're in charge, God, maybe there's someone here tonight struggling with sin. I'm sure there is. We all do. Lord, help us with our flesh. Help us to run to the Word of God that has the ability to defeat our temptations. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for the example that you set forth. Lord, we need you. We love you. We thank you again for your mercy and grace. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.